Welcome to worship on this Palm Sunday at First Federated Church as we enter into Holy Week, Passion Week. This coming week, we'll have various worship opportunities that we invite you to join us in. We will not have a Wednesday night service as we have been having these weeks of the season of Lent, but we will have a Maundy-Thursday service on Thursday at 6:30. This will be a communion service, but we will not be having a tenebrae as a part of that service as we have in past years. The tenebrae service will be on Good Friday evening, also at 6:30. And at noon on Good Friday, we will also have a Good Friday, an additional Good Friday service. And then next Sunday, Easter Sunday, we will once again have worship services at 8 and 10. Have a couple people that are going to make announcements. First is Kristen DeFonso.
Good morning. I'd just like to let you know of a current event that we have going on in our Sunday school program this month, the month of April. Our fourth and fifth grade class is doing a service project for the Crittenton Crisis Nursery, and all month we will be collecting donations to deliver at the end of the month. And just a few things that we'll be looking for to collect are diapers, wipes, formula, bottles, sippy cups, diaper rash cream, educational toys, batteries, Clorox wipes, and even plastic silverware and paper plates. We have two collection boxes. They're baskets, and we have one outside the commons, and we have one by the grandfather clock. They are already filling up, and so our kids are very excited about that. On April 23rd, our fourth and fifth grade class will host fellowship hour, kind of a baby shower theme. And then on April 30th, we will be taking a field trip, so to speak, and delivering all of those items to the Crittenton Crisis Nursery. So we'd love for you to participate. Any donations are welcome, and if you could get those in by April 30th, they would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Though June and July might seem some distance away, the youth group is preparing for the mission trip. And so this afternoon at 4:30 in the Commons, we are going to have a mission trip meeting. The meeting is open to the youth, to the parents of the youth, and anyone who might be interested in serving as a leader on the mission trip. You are invited. We're going to talk about all the relevant details, where we're going, how long we're going to be there, and what we will be doing. So if you have interest, or if you're a student or the parent of student, I invite you to come this afternoon.
Let us continue in the spirit of worship.
Thank you.
We've had a busy morning, haven't we? All right. How many of you like to celebrate? Let me try it again. How many of you like to celebrate? All right. There are lots of different events that we celebrate, right? We celebrate birthdays by singing happy birthday and blowing out candles. We celebrate the 4th of July by lighting off fireworks. And this past fall, we celebrated the Cubs winning the World Series. I think Cub fans are still celebrating, in fact. I don't think that celebration has ended. Well, today is a very special day at church because today is Palm Sunday. And today is the day that we remember the celebration that took place when Jesus entered Jerusalem. So nowadays we use fireworks and noisemakers and things like that. We make a lot of noise to celebrate. But back in the day when Jesus went into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, they used palms to celebrate. So I thought for just a minute we could pretend that we were back in Bible times so long ago and that we had a chance to participate in the very first Palm Sunday. So pretend that you are just sitting in your home and news has spread that the Messiah, Jesus, is about to come. And so what do? Everyone is so excited. So what you had to do was you had to run back to your palm tree that happened to be in your backyard, and you would clip off or tear off some palms. And these palms were a sign of victory and triumph and goodness. And so that's what people grabbed when they heard the Messiah was coming. So after you grabbed your palms, you ran to see where the crowd was, to see where the Messiah was, and you give a palm to each member of your family, right? And you join the crowd. What do you think it was like with this big crowd waiting for Jesus? You would barely be able to see. The crowd would be so big. What else? Heads would be in the way, right? Tall people, shorter people, okay? Do you think it would be a quiet place? No. Lots of noise and lots of celebration. So there you are, and all of a sudden, Jesus comes in riding on a donkey, and people cannot contain their excitement. So they take their palms, and they wave their palms, and do you remember what they said? Hosanna, Hosanna, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's kind of like a modern day way of saying, hooray, hooray. And they were so excited. And then do you know what they did with the palm branches as the donkey made its way through the crowd in front of them? They laid them down just like that. Kind of like, have you ever heard the term rolling out the red carpet? When a king or queen comes, that was their way of kind of rolling out a red carpet, putting the palms down for celebration. So the whole way through, you and your family and your neighbors and the crowd guided Jesus on the way into Jerusalem with this fantastic celebration. And I want you to think of for a moment how exciting that would be. And I know I love to celebrate birthdays, whether you're young or old, whether you're turning 10 or you're turning 80, celebrations are always so much fun. But I want you to think how big a celebration that would have been to be a part of joining Jesus as he comes into Jerusalem. And so what I want you to think about, and all of you are welcome after Sunday school to take a palm with you and to think about it today, and I invite the rest of the congregation on their way out to take a palm as they leave today and remember what a fantastic celebration it was for our King Jesus. Okay? Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, help us to worship and adore you, not only when the crowds do and things are going well, but also during the dark times of our lives. Help us to show others the way toward Jesus by behaving in ways that are pleasing to you. Now let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
The children are going off to make empty tomb muffins to prepare for this coming week. The prophet Isaiah looked around himself and said, "Oh Lord, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people with unclean lips." Each one of us are a part of the whole. What one person does affects us, and what we do affects others. There is no true individualism or individuality, for we are all knit together in the fabric of humanity. The prophet in Isaiah also said, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall become white as wool. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become as bright as snow." As a people of faith, we can confidently bow before God with penitent hearts, and we can confess our sin, and we can make restitution, and we will be forgiven. So let us confess our individual participation in the sin of humanity, as well as the world's sin. Join me in a moment of silent confession. Together we pray, O Lord, we confess our hands are not clean, our hearts are not pure. Forgive our capricious discipleship and keep our faith constant, O Lord. Lead us always to a deeper experience of your love. Enliven us by the familiar but always new story of shame and triumph, suffering and hope that this week reveals. Mold us to the ways of the servant whose life we honor this morning. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen.
Matthew 26, 20 through 25. On the feast day of the Passover week, when evening drew near, Jesus went to sit with his 12 disciples for the Passover dinner. During the meal, he said to them, "One of you will betray me." The disciples were grieved and saddened by this announcement. Deeply concerned, each of them asked, "Lord, is it I?" He replied, "The betrayer is dipping his hand in the dish at the same time as me. The Son of Man is fulfilling the scriptures written about him. But woe to the man through whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better if he had never been born." Then Judas, the man who had betrayed him, said, "Master, is it I?"
Matthew 26, 31 through 35. At the end of the feast, Jesus humbly came to each of his disciples and bathed their feet, wiping the dust away with a towel. Judas immediately left, and the disciples wondered if he might have been sent out on an errand since he was the group's treasurer. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will stumble this dark night. It has been written that the shepherd will be smitten and the sheep of the flock scattered about. But morning will come, and after I am raised up, I will go before you into Galilee." But Peter said, "Even though all men will stumble, I will never be caused to stumble." And Jesus replied, "Truly, Peter, Tonight, before the rooster crows, you will deny me not once, not twice, but three times. Peter said, Even if it causes me death, I would not deny you, Lord. And the other disciples agreed with Peter that they would follow Jesus even to their own deaths.
Mark 14, 32 through 42. After dinner, Jesus took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. He told the rest of them to sit and pray a while he walked a little further into the garden with Peter, James, and John. He became distressed, knowing the agony he would be facing in the hours to come. He told his friends, My soul is grieving. Stay with me and keep watch while I pray. He fell forward on the ground, crying out in anguish to his father, If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, Father, but as you will. Sorrowful, he returned to his friends, but they had fallen asleep on the ground, heartbroken. He asked them, Could you not watch with me even for an hour? Watch and pray. You will be severely tempted. I know your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. A second time he ventured further into the garden alone and prayed, Father, If it is not possible that this cup of suffering might pass from me, I pray that if I drink it, your will will be done.
Matthew 26, 14 through 16, 47 through 50, and 53 through 57. A few days before the Passover celebration, Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' disciples, had gone to the chief priests and asked them what they would give him if he delivered Jesus to them. The priests and elders had been conspiring with the Roman government to arrest and kill Jesus quietly so as to avoid a revolt among the Jewish people. They then agreed to give Judas 30 pieces of silver. From that day on, Judas had been looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus to his enemies. As Jesus continued to pray and encourage his disciples, a great crowd of people, led by Judas, came to the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas drew near to Jesus and kissed him fervently, which was the sign agreed upon with the chief priests to identify Jesus. Calmly, Jesus asked, "Friend, why are you here? Would you betray me with a kiss?" The disciples were confused and afraid and asked Jesus if they should fight the high priest's servants with their swords. Jesus answered them, "Do you not believe that I could ask my Father in heaven and legions of angels would come to my rescue?" Then Jesus looked around at the crowd of chief priests, elders, and captains of the temple. He asked them, "Why do you come to me with weapons as if I were a thief? Every day I have been with you in the temple, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. All this has come to pass so that the words of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then the disciples fled in fear, forsaking Jesus as the angry mob seized him and led him away.
Thank you.
In the book of Genesis, we come to know that God blessed us by creating all things. In the gospel, we learn that God has blessed us by sending his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, to redeem all of creation. In response to the blessings that God has given to us, we offer back to God our prayers, our gifts, our alms, and our tithes. And we do so not out of compulsion, but with joy and thanksgiving. I invite those who are receiving the offering to come forward and do so now. Please lift your hearts in prayer as we dedicate these gifts to the service of God and God's kingdom. Blessed are you, Christ Jesus, as you come to us this day. Blessed are you as you work through the gifts we bring to you now. Blessed are you as you live in our lives, helping us to become faithful disciples and stewards of your love. Bless and strengthen our gifts, that they may bless and strengthen others. With gratitude and joy we pray. Amen.
I invite you to join me in the spirit of prayer. O Sacred Head, now wounded, on this Sunday when we remember your triumphal entry into Jerusalem and the passion of the week yet to come, when we remember the pilgrims who made a carpet of cloaks and branches before you and waved in celebration, we remember also that the seeds of dissension had also been sown. Those seeds are still with us. We pray for our faithful brothers and sisters in Egypt who have had their worship interrupted by terrorist bombings this weekend. We pray for the citizens of Syria who daily face the ravages of war. We especially remember in prayer the children whose childhood has been forever interrupted and taken from them, from barrel bombs and chemicals that kill and maim indiscriminately. We pray for the perpetrators of such violence and for the atrocities. We pray for ourselves and whatever complicity we may have in it. We pray for their enemies. We pray for your divine guidance in the eradication of the weeds. Lord, we pray for our communities and for our families, for our homes too often filled with disruption, for those who are under the spell of various kinds of addiction, for those who are scared, confused, and wounded in body and spirit. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved one. Especially we pray for Howard Simpson as he marks the passing of his wife of 75 years. Lord, we pray for the helpless. We pray for the true peace that only you can provide. We have thankful hearts too, though, Lord. We are thankful for your gracious and tender care, for the blessings that you shower upon us every day of life, for the very gift of life itself, and for hope and joy and peace and love. We are thankful for family and friends and for your grace that is sufficient for this day. We would be remiss if we did not pray for the President of the United States, the Governor of the State of Illinois, the Mayor of our various communities, all elected and appointed officials, as well as the members of our Executive Board and Board of Deacons as they carry out their ministry. All of those whom you have placed a mantle of leadership upon their shoulders, we pray for. Let them govern wisely, and may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, as we move from this day to the next, we do so in the knowledge that the last word in the Passion narrative isn't just about Christ's death, but it is also about his resurrection, and in a few days we will celebrate that. As you leave this place, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.